Redeemed Christian Church of God, Canaan Land, enjoins you to listen to this teaching as a servant of God delivers the undiluted Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of these words.
We want to thank you for the privilege to be with you today. I want to thank Pastor Muiwa for the invitation. He has been so kind to get me to join you today. I wouldn't want to take too much of your time. I have 50 minutes, but to be very honest, what I have to share with you will take a minimum of 3 hours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We bless your holy name for this morning. We thank you for grace to be in your presence. Lord, I'm asking for a fresh unction to be able to deliver your message to your church. I pray that your people will receive understanding. I pray that your name will be glorified. I hand over to you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. My name is Bosu Emmanuel. A little bit about myself and the ministry. I was ordained in the Redeemed Christian Church of God as an assistant pastor, as a full pastor, and I was the national coordinator of Redeemed Christian Church of God in Germany for many years. The Lord sent us packing from Germany in 2006 and told me to go back home. Of course, you wouldn't want to return to Nigeria if you were living in Germany. You know what I mean. And when we ask, what are you supposed to do in Nigeria? There is nothing. Say, you have an assignment. Go and meet the information needs of the church. The church in Nigeria lacks information. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Brethren, this morning, I'm here to do only one thing, to give you information. What you are going to do with the information depends on you. But I pray you will use that information wisely, because I have very heavy news for you. We are in serious trouble. Now, let me quickly make certain points very clear. Number one, the presentation I'm going to do is not to strike panic in you. Number one, because I'm going to show you some things that will make you afraid. But the intention is not to strike fear into you. I am not a rabble rouser. I'm not here to whip up emotion and whip up sentiment. Please, let's get that very clearly. Number two, I'm not here to instill fear in any Christian. I am here to be an agent of revival. That after you receive this information, there will be revival in the church and you will become an ambassador. Number three, I want to move the church to repentance. The Nigerian church has gone the wrong way. We must repent. Number four, I want us to foster unity. We are divided. Jesus Christ says, a house that is divided, it cannot stand. We need prayers for Nigeria. We need prayers for the church. And then, this is not a hate speech. I don't hate Muslims. And I don't want you to hate Muslims. But I'm going to tell you a lot of things that the Muslims are doing that may get you angry. Please do not hate them. They are not your enemies. Both the Muslims and the Christians have only one enemy. His name is Lucifer. The reason why we are in this crisis that we are in Nigeria today is because the church, primarily, as for taking its responsibility. And then, finally, want us to return to discipleship, which we have abandoned 20 years ago. The Nigerian church in the past 20 years has stopped raising disciples. We don't have disciples anymore. The Nigerian church has now focused on raising millionaires. That's the focus of the Nigerian church. And we forget that on the day of crisis, the millionaire will catch the first available flight and fly out of the country. Only disciples will stand to defend the church. We are at war. Look, if anybody tells you it is peace and safety, no, don't say that now. We are at war. There is a full-scale war against the church. And right now, Nigeria itself is fighting a civil war. Nobody wants to say it, but there is a war going on. For the church to survive, the church needs disciples. Now let me show you elements of that war. I will show you some images. This is First Baptist in Potiskum, burnt down. Another church, Equa, Church of God Mission. That's fire going on inside a church. The foot soldiers of Islam, they are called al-Majiris. Vehicles in church building. Now get ready for this next one. Get ready. Get ready. Brace yourself. That is how our brethren are killed. That is how they are cut to pieces. As I'm talking, this is what is going on in Nigeria. I'm not talking about Sudan. I'm not talking about Somalia. This is what is going on in your country right now. This is how Christians are murdered in this nation. They are cut to pieces. The hatred is satanic. And the reason why we are having this problem is because the church forsook missions. We refused to go. We all sat down in Lagos, in Ibadan, in Port Harcourt, nourishing our souls. We forgot those in the north. Because we failed to evangelize them, the harvest that was ripe 2,000 years ago, the harvest is rotting. Boko Haram is the rotting harvest. If we had reached them before the terrorists reached them, they would be carrying the Bible, not AK-47. See, what is going on in Nigeria, God is not holding Boko Haram responsible, he's holding the church responsible. Terrible cases that you will never believe are going on in your country. All these are Christians. I'm going to show you a movie footage. It is the footage of 501 Christians that were slaughtered in one night, including children, in a village called Dogonawa in Jos. To make it better, let me speed it forward a little bit. What I showed you took place in Nigeria. You can't finish watching the footage. I have to stop it. And it is still taking place as we are talking now. The reality is this. It is not localized to the north. What I just showed you is planned to take place all over Nigeria. And Christianity in Nigeria is on its way out. We've come to the point that every Christian in Nigeria must consciously say, I will not be the last Christian in this nation. Because if we don't take time, we are the last Christians. I will explain, and God will give me grace. Nigeria is on the verge. God doesn't want Nigeria to explode. God doesn't want Nigeria to break to pieces. God doesn't want destruction in Nigeria. God has an agent in Nigeria to prevent whatever evil we see that is going on. God has an agent to stop corruption, to stop oppression, to stop terrorism, to stop kidnapping. God has an agent whom God has empowered and assigned. This is your job. That agent is the church. Now it is because the church has failed. That's what, whatever evil you see taking place in Nigeria, the church is responsible. Hold the church responsible. And that means hold you and I responsible. We are not doing what we are supposed to do. How sick is Nigeria? Now let's quickly look at the sickness of our nation. When you say somebody is sick, you look at the blood vessels, right? You look at the bones, you look at the skin, you look at the brain. Let's try and find out, let's look at the blood vessels of Nigeria and see what is going on to our country. Right before our eyes, Nigeria is becoming desolate. And the church is singing and dancing. See, this used to be Nigeria a few years ago. Rivers, streams, they are drying up. This is Nigeria today. If you travel a lot across Nigeria, when you get to bridges, watch. It's becoming sandy bed. It's drying up. The skin of Nigeria. Years ago, you see Nigeria with thick forest. This is Nigeria today. They call it deforestation. This is the country today. The skin is going. How sick is your country? This used to be mineral resources that was providing employment in the 60s. The whole of Plateau State, people were mining bauxite, aluminium, all over the place. This is Nigeria today. Nothing is going on. How sick is Nigeria? Look at Nigeria's bowels. This used to be infrastructure. Nigeria, there is no infrastructure working in this nation anymore. Now, let's quickly move forward because of time. And this is Nigeria today. The bomb is already ticking. And If you look at the second picture, you will see a young rascal that has grabbed the whole, that has grabbed hold of Nigeria around the northeast zone and is pulling. And that young man is already tilting Nigeria. They call his name Boko Haram. If we don't get this guy to stop, Nigeria is going to somersault. And that is where we are standing now. In fact, our situation is so terrible, America has to come in to help us. France is now saying we have to come and help you. Nations of the world are now saying we have to come and help you. And yet, the largest Christian auditorium in the whole world is in Nigeria. The largest gathering of Christians in the whole world is Nigeria. But Nigeria cannot solve its problems. We pray like nobody. So what is going on? How does our nation fare? Isaiah chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. I read verse 7. The word of God says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devoid in your presence. You know that is true? The Chinese are the ones taking the job. Nigerians are unemployed. The Indians are the ones owning the companies. Nigerians have no job. Strangers are devouring our land right before our eyes. And nobody is asking why. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. The morality, the wickedness, the oppression that is taking place in Nigeria on a daily basis, more than enough for God to send brimstone and fire. But thank God for the small remnant that God left. I pray you are one of those remnants. If you are not, please join them. Believe me, it is the remnant that is keeping Nigeria. Now let's go to the next phase. Abuja Declaration 1989. Let me start from here. If you have an iPad here and you have access to the internet right here, I will just invite you, please go online straight away and go to wikipedia.org, Wikipedia, and type into the search engine Abuja Declaration 1989. And this information will come up. Islam in Africa held a conference in Abuja in 1989. At the end of it, they issued a declaration. And it goes, to eradicate in all its forms and ramifications all non-Muslim religions in member nations. Such religions shall include Christianity. Now please note that word. To eradicate in all its forms and ramifications. Now Nigeria is a member nation. All non-Muslim religions. Such religions shall include Christianity. The word Christianity in the communique was underlined. To ensure only Muslims are elected to all political posts of member nations. To ensure the appointment of only Muslims into strategic national and international posts of member nations. To ensure the ultimate replacement of all Western forms of legal and judicial systems with the Sharia. Then to make sure that this strategy works, because it's going to require money. Babangida, as the self-appointed president of Nigeria, put his hand into the treasury of Nigeria, took $21 billion out and gave it to OIC, to the Islamic Development Fund of OIC, and said, take this money for the total, I'm quoting, for the total Islamization of Nigeria in particular and Africa in general. Babangida paid $21 billion of our money to turn Nigeria into an Islamic nation. And they have started. Boko Haram, don't look at it as something that is isolated to the northeast. It is meant to cover the entire nation until Christianity is eradicated in all its forms and ramifications. Now this was not mentioned in the introduction because I don't think that is something that one should talk about, but I just have to mention it. By the grace of God, I happen to be a member of the national conference that is taking place right now. And I'm the delegate of Christian Association of Nigeria from the Southwest. I represent Christians from the Southwest at the national conference. I'm part of the religion committee. And I'm also part of the interfaith committee. We sit down with Muslims to discuss this matter, to resolve this issue. We've reached a deadlock, and the deadlock is in separation of state and religion. I will talk a little bit about that. Can they do it? The answer is yes, they can, if we allow them. So God told us to go to Turkey and learn certain things. September last year, God spoke to Dr. Vincent Anibogu, the Director General of the National Institute of Transformation. And God told him that if care is not taken, in 30 to 40 years, Nigeria will be like Turkey. And God told him, go and learn what happened to Turkey. Now, Turkey used to be 100% Christian. Today, Turkey is 96.04% Islam. Christianity in Turkey is 0.21%. And God is speaking that if you don't take care, Nigeria will end up like Turkey. Christianity was in Turkey for 1,123 years. Islam uprooted it. Christianity in Nigeria is 172 years old. If we take the starting date from 1842, when Methodist Reverend Batch Freeman arrived in Badagry, you will remember that the Catholics came first in the 13th century. They did some church planting around Warri and Benin Kingdom. They left in 1622. Then the Methodists came back in 1842, about 200 years after that. Now, it is that coming of the Methodists that has now developed to what we have as Christianity today. So effectively, Christianity in Nigeria is 172 years old. Now the point is this: if Islam can uproot the one that had been planted for 1,123 years in Constantinople, tell me, they can't uproot the one that is just 172 years old. As a matter of fact, the spiritual foundation of Turkey, Nigeria, does not come near it. Because the seven churches that Jesus Christ wrote letters to in Revelations 2 and 3, all those seven churches were located in Turkey. All those seven churches. Apostle Paul, the champion of the church, was a citizen of Turkey. The Macedonia vision that Paul saw, come over to Macedonia and help us, Paul received it in Turkey. Turkey had solid Christian foundations. Islam uprooted everything. So if the Nigerian church is deceiving itself, hey, there is fire on the roof, oh. I work with the voice of Christian martyrs, and we go all over the north. That's why I was able to give each one of you a magazine. I want you to read the magazine when you get home. By the grace of God, I produced that magazine. I met the people, almost everybody, they are one-on-one. We go to the north. It's not that I'm living in Lagos, somebody is bringing information. I go there, to Maiduguri, to Kaduna, to Kano. I go to meet the Christians who are being persecuted. And I must protest that the church in the south is a selfish and a wicked group of believers, because you abandoned the Christians in the north. Look, God is the God of justice, and God is the God of judgment. Let's not provoke him to repay us with our wickedness. Because if God looks at what the Christians in the south have done to the Christians in the north, he will fold his hand and allow Boko Haram to deal with us. We have to go to US. We have to go to Canada, to Poland, to Australia, to New Zealand, to raise Christians that will help and support Christians in the north. Nigerian church is not lifting a finger. It's not that you don't have money. The Nigerian church has money, but they help nobody. They only take and take and take. They don't give jack. I have to skip some things. The sin of irresponsibility. When God spoke to Professor Anibogu, he said the Nigerian church is guilty of the sin of irresponsibility. To the church in Laodicea, God says, you are blind, you are wretched, you are naked. To the church in Sardis, God says, you have a name that you live, but you are dead. To the Nigerian church, God says, you are irresponsible. What Yoruba has called Oniranu. We have been given so much, we have delivered so little. We only think about ourselves. We are consumed with our comfort, our convenience, our promotion, our breakthrough. We don't even see what is going on around us.
You saw the footage? You saw the footage? As I'm talking to you, it is still taking place. And we have men of God in this country who can stand and say, no! It's a pity Archbishop Idahosa is dead. If that man was alive, maybe things would not have been like this. And we should thank God for small mercies that we have somebody like Pastor Ayo Olusegun as the president of CAN. The people who abuse him the most are the Christians. And believe me, if that man was not the president of CAN, you can't sit down here today. It's not true. You can't sit down here. Because Lagos has become a jihadist state. Don't you know that? Lagos is jihadist. You can't sit down. They will have locked this place. It's because somebody is still standing. And he's standing alone. And all the other pastors are abusing him. Go online and read what Christians are writing about CAN, about Pastor Yoris. You will weep. God said, September 15, 2013, if care is not taken, in 30 to 40 years, Nigeria will be like Turkey. Exactly the way God said it is the way I have written it there. The name of the man God spoke to, I have put it there. Dr. Anigbogu told us this at a strategy meeting in CAN in November last year. That September, this is what God told me, Nigerian church has an ultimatum of 30 years. If you don't repent and return and do the work God has called you to do and leave this nonsensical attachment to vanity and stop pursuing prosperity and stop pursuing breakthrough and pursue discipleship, in 30 years you will not hand over Christianity to your children. God told him to learn from Turkey. And what did the Most High say? Find out how Christianity was destroyed in Turkey. And Professor Anigbogu discovered that every mistake the Christians in Turkey made that led to the collapse of Christianity, the Nigerian church is repeating all those mistakes step by step, one by one. See, it's like we went to Turkey and asked the Christians there. We heard that you people used to be Christians here, and they said yes, but now Islam has taken over, and they said yes. Did you do something wrong? And they said we did many things wrong. So we said, okay, why don't you write for us what you did wrong? So they listed the mistakes that they made. Then the Nigerian church took the list, returned home, and started implementing it. That's what we have done. Time will not permit me to go into details. I will just run through them because there are still some things I have to share. I told you if I have to do a thorough job, I will need a minimum of 3 hours. Number one, the church underestimated the young Ottoman ruler. The same way the Nigerian church is underestimating Islam. I have met church leaders who have argued with me. It's not possible. It's not. You mean what they are doing there? That they will do it here? No way. No way. You don't know Islam. You do not know the spirit that is behind Islam. Can you imagine, until you saw it here, can you imagine that somebody will take a cutlass and split the head of a child? When you are coming to church this morning, did it occur to you? Can you imagine somebody will burn another human being simply because he doesn't believe what he believes in? A church in Bogoro, they went to a church in Bogoro on Sunday, locked the doors, stood outside, and threw inside cans of petrol and set it on fire and refused to allow the Christians to come out, and they roasted 70 people inside church on Sunday. Deeper Life in Gombe, they were having prayer meeting in the evening. Three of them lined up the windows with AK-47 and sprayed everybody. I was there, I saw it. I saw the place. In fact, I brought a piece of stone. I left it inside the car from the mass grave of the 500. You can't believe it. The Nigerian church is underestimating Islam. Number two, the church in Constantinople, which was the old name for Istanbul, which is now the commercial capital of Turkey, from where everybody in Turkey now spread out, they assumed that Constantinople was the best defended city in Europe. The Nigerian church is making the same mistake. They think they are the largest in Africa, the largest in the world. It's a mistake. It doesn't stop Islam. The leadership of the church in Turkey, within and outside, was bitterly divided. The church in Nigeria, are they united? Jesus Christ says a house that is divided, it cannot stand. Okay? On the basis of that alone, if Islam does not destroy the church, the Babalawos will do it. We are divided. We are not working as one. But thank God it is beginning to change.
What makes me happy is that church leaders are now beginning to listen to us. So everything that I'm telling you this morning, I'm passing to you information. And I have to tell you the way that it is so that you can be galvanized into righteous action. I hope you are getting my point. That's why I'm telling you everything. They are beginning to listen to us. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of work. But twice, as Sister Basi attended the two meetings, we've been able to call them, the heads of denominations, with the president of CAN, with the chairman of CAN Southwest, with Satina University of Lagos. We discussed this thing. We met again. We discussed, and they agreed at the last meeting that they will unite. Because each person, each ministry in Nigeria stands on its own. They are not connected. In fact, don't let us even go into that because we will not have time. They are divided. Global News carried this headline in December 2011. Rumble in the house of God. Nigerian pastors that hate themselves. And they put their photographs there. And they told this one hate this pastor. Why this one hate? It's a big mess. Racism and tribalism weaken the church in Turkey. Racism and tribalism is weakening the body of Christ in Nigeria. We have the Yoruba church. Am I right? We have the Igbo church. Correct? We have the Hausa church. Is that not so? Look, in the Yoruba church, if you are an Igbo man, if you carry anointing, let fire come out of your head. You are on your own. You will not reach the top because it is a Yoruba church. If it is the Igbo church, if you are Yoruba man, possess all the revelations that you know, you are on your own. You will not get anywhere because it is an Igbo church. Only the Igbos will be pro. That we brought our petty politics inside the church. That is the mistake they made in Turkey. That Islam is now 96%. The church is now 0.21%. Nigerian church is making the same mistake. And God is warning, hey, the way you people are going, I have seen it before. This thing that you are doing in Nigeria, I have seen it before. I saw it in 1453 before you were born. You are making the same mistake. You are going the same way. I will give you 30 years. I will hold them back for 30 years. If after 30 years you don't change, I will take my hands off your case. Powerless church authority without people's backing and financial support. I mentioned earlier, concerning CAN, the only platform we have to fight this war is CAN. You can't fight it on PFN. PFN is only 20% of the church because CAN has 5 blocks. You need CAN. All the Christians have to come together, stand as one and say no to Islam. But see, it is Christians who are abusing CAN. And Christians refuse to fund CAN. Now how can you execute a war on an empty treasury? It's not that the Nigerian church doesn't have money. Let me ask you a question very quickly. What is the annual revenue of the Nigerian church? Does anyone know? No, you don't. 3 trillion naira. 3 trillion. The Nigerian church combined get an annual revenue in excess of 3 trillion naira. How much does the Nigerian church contribute to run its umbrella organization, CAN? You know? You don't know? 1,250,000. Each block pays 250,000 naira. Even that 250,000 naira, there are blocks that are owing arrears for years. They refuse to pay. So CAN has no money. Islam took $21 billion. Now tell me how you are going to fight them. With a budget of 1,250,000 naira. How are you going to fight? Meanwhile, God is angry that you are not doing what he called you to do. What he called you to do. That you are not doing your own thing. So how are you going to fight Islam? No, tell me. I can't explain this because of time, but I need to mention this one very quickly because it is repeating itself. The weapon used to destroy Constantinople was invented by a Christian. It was a Christian. He invented the cannon basilica, took it to the Christians to buy. Christians didn't have the money. He carried it to the Muslims. Sultan Mehmed paid him cash. In 3 months, basilica was ready. It blew Constantinople to pieces. The same problem is in Nigeria. The strategy that the Muslims are using, that they are going to use to destroy the church, it is Christians who are strategizing for them. See, we've taught our people to be so sensitive to money that they've lost all sense of spirituality.
The only thing the average Christian thinks about now is how he will get money. Whether it will cost him his soul, whether it will compromise his position as a Christian, he doesn't think about it anymore. Because the church has been priming the Christian. For the past 20 years, we've stopped raising disciples. We focus on raising millionaires. APC is a party to watch carefully. I'm not a politician, but the church must know this. Because there's no way you can separate national politics from what is going on. I will talk a little bit about APC. But for 2015, APC has hired the campaign manager of Barack Obama to come and strategize for them in Nigeria. Yeah? When the man got to Nigeria, he needed a local to interface. The person he employed is a pastor. To hand over power to a party that resembles, in all intent and purpose, the Islamic Brotherhood. Even Egypt rejected the Islamic Brotherhood. Even Syria, if you watch what is going on in Syria, the Western powers looked at the Sunnis from Saudi Arabia, they looked at the Shiites from Iran, who are now supporting and fighting Assad, and they said, listen, rather than allow either of these two groups to take over power after Assad, Assad will forgive you all your sins, sit down there. That's what is going on. That's why Assad is winning the civil war now. Because the Western powers are now throwing their weight behind Assad. Why? We don't want Islamic Brotherhood. A pastor is the one strategizing for Islamic Brotherhood in Nigeria. The weapon used to destroy Turkey was invented by a Christian. Nigerian church is following suit. Constantinople had an army of 7,000. The Muslims had a force of 80,000. The church does not have an army. Look, if you don't believe me, pastor, this Sunday, call for evangelism tomorrow and tell the members, all these people here, that tomorrow we are going on evangelism and count the number of those who will come. Those who come are the disciples. The other people, they will find excuses. I'm busy. I have to go somewhere. Pastor, you have to excuse me. I cannot make it. But they will not come because they are not disciples. That's our problem. Now, I'm going to say something without any particular church in mind, because each time I mention this at presentation, pastors get very uncomfortable. It has to do with cathedral. In Constantinople, rather than build men, they concentrated on building a cathedral. They built this house called Hagia Sophia, the House of Wisdom. In its days, this house was the most magnificent, the most expensive, the most beautiful house. This was what the church concentrated on rather than build men that can defend this house. On the day Constantinople fell, because there were no men to defend the city, the first person to enter Hagia Sophia was 21-year-old Sultan Mehmed. He headed straight for the altar, stood on the altar, raised his hand and shouted, Allah Akbar. And right there he commanded, convert it into a mosque. This is Hagia Sophia as a mosque. And it remained a mosque for 478 years. Until 1931, when the government of Turkey went secular, then the government of Turkey said, convert it into a museum. But till today, it has not been handed over to the church. It is a museum. Now, Nigerian church could decide they want to build a cathedral, but please, let us put the horse before the cart. Let us raise disciples. Don't let us repeat this mistake. Let me come back to this one. I raised this during the national conference at plenary, and the conference went on fire. Everything scattered immediately. And the Muslims got up, they tried to shut me down. I pointed out to Nigeria that we have a constitutional problem that is the core issue that we must resolve. And what is the problem of Nigeria? It is not corruption. It is not Boko Haram. It is not mediocrity. It is not lawlessness. Our problem is dual ideology within the Nigerian constitution. It must be resolved. If we don't resolve it, Nigeria is not going anywhere. There are two ideologies inside the Nigerian constitution. Let me show you something. Sharia is mentioned in your constitution 73 times. Islam, 28 times. Grand Qadi, 54 times. Muslim, 10 times. In the Nigerian constitution, 1999. There is no single mention of Christ
in the Nigerian Constitution.
No single mention of Christian
in the Nigerian Constitution.
No single mention of Christianity
in the Nigerian Constitution.
No single mention of church
in the Nigerian Constitution.
Now I ask you, sir, I ask you, ma, is your country an Islamic state, a Christian state, or a secular state? Which one is Nigeria? Talk to me. Constitutionally, Nigeria is an Islamic state. The reason it has not been enforced is because they have not captured the jewel that is needed to enforce it. And that jewel is the Southwest. And right now, they are set because there has been now a handshake between the Northwest and the Southwest. And this is where Christians need to wake up, and politics now comes in, which we now need to start creating political awareness in Christians, because Christians don't vote. I am one bad example, so I'm not saying you alone, which I don't, but we must change it and use our vote to quickly restructure the political imbalance in Nigeria. Because if you make a mistake of using your thumb to dig the grave of the church, you will stand before Jesus Christ and render account. I'm not a member of PDP, I'm not a member of APC, but I saw something that makes me worried, and I think you should see it. The leadership structure of APC. National leader, North, Muslim. National leader, South, Muslim. National chairman, Muslim. Deputy national chairman, Muslim. National secretary, Muslim. Deputy national secretary, Muslim. National publicity secretary, Muslim. National treasurer, Muslim. National financial secretary, Muslim. National youth leader, Muslim. Legal advisor, Muslim. Women leader, Muslim. Ex-official member, Muslim. Then they call you. Come and thump. Come and thump. And there are Christians who are ready, who are already in APC. Look, if you use your thumb to dig the grave of the church, my hand is not there. Lo, I have told you. There is an Islamic agenda for Nigeria. There is now an agreement between the Northwest and the Southwest. We all open our eyes. We allow the political party to give us Muslim governors. 80% of their governors are Muslim. There must be a restructuring. 2015, Christians must stand and insist Lagos State, the governor must be a Christian. You must stand. And we are going to insist we are not accepting a Christian candidate that an Islamic party is going to give us. We will pick our own candidate under a different political platform. If we don't, you can't meet here. My time is off. Okay. The pastor says I should continue. Thank you, sir. Now, let me now quickly go back and explain what I meant by dual ideology, because I did not explain it. I was running for time. Section 1 of the Nigerian Constitution says that the Constitution of Nigeria is supreme. Read it. Say it is higher than any other law that is made in Nigeria. Abi? Section 38. Paragraph 1 of the Constitution of Nigeria guarantees freedom of expression, freedom of belief, freedom of choice. You can decide which religion you want to be under the Nigerian Constitution. Then the same Constitution now has Sharia inside the Constitution. And Sharia says if you dare change your religion from Islam to any other religion, you must die. Sharia says if you practice any other religion apart from Islam, you must die. Both of them are inside the Constitution. So you have two captains inside the same boat. That is what is rocking Nigeria. Because the promoters of the dual ideology don't want to lose it. See, I'm in the National Conference. I sit in the Religion Committee. I know what is going on. I can't tell you everything that is going on. We are fighting to get Sharia out of the Constitution. It is clear that if you touch Sharia, get ready for a bloodbath. that you have never seen before. So we have no other option but to petition our God in heaven that, God, you have to intervene. We can't handle this. They are ready to kill to retain Sharia. That's why we need your prayers. Are you following along with me? I'm giving you a prayer request. Please pray that God in heaven will intervene. And that dual ideology inside the Nigerian constitution, it will be dismantled. Because it is only when we stand on section 38 that we can now build a society that is founded upon liberty, justice, equity, and fairness. Until then, we can't. That's why all this crisis is going on. Boko Haram is killing. Why is Boko Haram killing? They want Sharia. Why do they want Sharia? That is what is in the constitution. Until you remove it, you can't solve the problem. Our problem is not corruption. Corruption is the symptom. The real disease is the dual ideology. And only the church can pray it out. But right now, the church is praying other prayers. Please pray the right prayer. Now, let me quickly go. Maybe if I take 10 minutes more from Pastor Muiwa, he will forgive me. Because I need to give us the background into what we are seeing now. Very, very quickly. In 1983, OIC held a strategy meeting in London. And at that meeting, they strategized how to turn the whole of Africa into an Islamic continent. The reason of OIC is that Africa is the only continent that has the largest population of Muslims in the world. Therefore, the entire continent should be Islamic. They produced a 322-page document. After that strategy session, 156 pages focused on Nigeria. They identified 7 key nations that must be captured before they can turn Africa into an Islamic continent. The 7 nations are Nigeria, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, and Democratic Republic of Congo. OIC says these 7 nations must primarily be Islamized. And of these 7 nations, Nigeria is number 1. Once they Islamize Nigeria, then there is no problem with Islamizing Kenya. So when you hear of terrorist attack in Kenya, that they attack the mall in Kenya, it is not isolated from what Boko Haram is doing in Nigeria. It's the same. Get the connection. After they did that, OIC now zoned Nigeria. Now this is interesting. Our current geopolitical zone structure, south-south, south-east, north-east, north-west, north-central, you know it was not designed by any Nigerian government. I hope you know that. Or you don't know. I hope you know that there is no Nigerian law backing it. I hope you are aware that it was not passed by any constituent assembly or by any constitutional sitting or by any national referendum. It was designed by OIC in 1983. OIC broke Nigeria into 6 zones. Not to unite us as a people, not to develop us as a nation, but to break us into little groups for the purpose of Islamization. They have taken the northwest. They have placed a stamp of Islam on it, Sharia. They have taken the northeast. They have placed the stamp of Islam on it, Sharia. They are battling furiously for the North Central, while the train at the same time has transformed into a political machinery and has moved into the Southwest. So the next battleground from 2015 is the Southwest. If the Christians in the Southwest don't wake up now and begin to pray now, because you cannot fight them the way they are going to fight. How many of you will throw bomb? How many of you will carry AK-47? You will not. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. So you need this information. Are you not along with me? So begin to pray now that every Islamic agenda for Yoruba land, it shall not stand. And whatever they have already put in place, Almighty God dismantle it. Whatever they have planted, Almighty God uproot it. Because if you don't get Southwest back, we shall lose the whole of Nigeria. The Southwest is the key. That is where the intellectuals are. That is where the press is. That is where the manufacturing industry is. That is where the banking industry is. Whatever you get in the Southwest, you can take it anywhere in Nigeria. It will sell. Now, there has been a handshake under the guise of a political party. Wake up. This is more than politics. This is an Islamic agenda.
When they finished, they handed their strategy over to Shehu Musa Yar'Adua. Shehu Musa Yar'Adua, the senior, presented it at the 1988 Constituent Assembly. That was how it entered the Nigerian consciousness. Until Abacha became the head of state. When he wanted to transmute from a military head of state to a civilian, he called Dr. Alex Ekweme to restructure Nigeria for him. Alex Ekweme gave him this six geopolitical zone structure. That's why Abacha said that he wanted six vice presidents, one for each geopolitical zone. And God said no, and he kicked Abacha out. If we had time, I would have asked you one question and say, who is the best president Nigeria ever had? In fact, I would have asked you two. Who is the best president? Tell me. Can somebody tell me? Go on. Wonderful. Any other answer? Obasanjo, Baba Yabo. Any other answer? It may surprise you, sir. And you, ma, the best president, head of state you ever had was General Sani Abacha, retired and dead. If I ask you another question before you clap, when did Nigeria become independent? Talk to me. 1960. I will tell you, no, you failed, WAEC. Nigeria became independent 28th of April 1996. The day General Sani Abacha was used by God to deliver Nigeria. That was the day Abacha removed Dasuki, the Sultan of Sokoto, as the Sultan, deposed him, sacked him, and appointed Mashido as the Sultan. That day Nigeria became free. Because what the British did was that when they were going, they exchanged external colonialism for internal colonialism. Let me explain it. 30th of September 1960, a day before the proclamation of independence, the British went to Sokoto and held a durbar, a mock battle, and they fought the forces of the caliphate. And in that mock battle, the British pretended that the caliphate defeated them, and the British surrendered. They now took the scepter of the Sultan of Sokoto, which the British had earlier captured. They handed the scepter over, symbolizing that the nation of Nigeria, they are handing it over to the caliphate. The caliphate understood what was done. That is where the born to rule mentality came from. They were now the new colonial masters. Because Britain did not want Nigeria to rise to its full potential. They knew what would happen. So they gave Nigeria, you say you want independence? Okay, you want us to go? Okay, we will go. But we will hand you over to somebody who will continue to do the job for us. 1st of October, they came to Lagos for the public ceremony. But Nigeria was not free. It was still a colony. Now a colony of the Sokoto Caliphate. Are you coming along with me? That's why for years in Nigeria, ask the elders, nothing gets done in Nigeria unless the Sultan of Sokoto says, go ahead. Even Obasanjo, that was head of state, he was a proxy of the caliphate. Even Gowon was a proxy of the caliphate. Have you forgotten that it was Gowon who took schools from the missions? All the Christian schools. It was Gowon who took it in 1972. And up to today in Nigeria, no Muslim school has been taken by government. Not single one. Rather, government is using public funds to run Islamic schools. But they took all the schools of Christians, and it was taken by a Christian head of state. So the person who said, go on, you may not be completely correct. And we were in that second bondage until God raised a madman. Because only a madman could do what Abacha did. You dared to touch the Sultan of Sokoto. Abacha invaded Sokoto, captured the Sultan, deposed the Sultan, sent him on exile, appointed his own Sultan. By that singular act, Abacha exalted the throne of Nigeria above the Sultan of the Caliphate. Nigeria was free. The moment Abacha did that, the first casualty of the new throne of Nigeria was Abacha itself. The throne said, you can't sit down here.
kicked him out.
Abdulsalam Abubakar came. He negotiated. Calm down. Just give me 1 year. Calm down. I'm leaving.
I want to hand over to one of your children.
So he handed over to Obasanjo.
Whether he now did the right thing or he did the wrong thing does not matter. But that throne recognizes a covenant child.
After Obasanjo left, he made a mistake. He handed it over to Yar'Adua. The throne said, what?
Nice.
Handed it over to Jonathan.
What is going on, church? Now there is a battle in the heavenlies for 2015. Now you need to understand why there is a struggle for 2015. You just read it in the newspapers. There is a struggle. Why? Because this year Nigeria entered Jubilee. 2014. Jubilee is 50 years. 100 years ended. That's 2 Jubilees. The 3rd Jubilee for Nigeria started. Yeah? The president who takes Nigeria into the new Jubilee is the one who will gain control for the next 100 years. The Muslims understand it. They want 2015. Once they get 2015, we are locked up for the next 100 years.
So the issue has nothing to do with whether Jonathan is performing or is not performing.
Are you getting my point?
Hey, let me give you a website. It is called kingdomnewsng.com. kingdomnewsng.com. Go to kingdomnewsng.com and read the prophetic destiny of Goodluck Jonathan. You are the one complaining that Jonathan is slow. Jonathan is not performing. Yeah. You are using your mouth to say what God doesn't want to hear. Jonathan is 100% successful.
Because God says, intercessors asked, Lord, why did you give us this man? He doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
And God says, he's not there to give you employment. It's not there to restore your economy. The job, the destiny of Goodluck Jonathan is to rebuild the foundation of Nigeria. And Jonathan is doing that 100%. Where did he get the courage to convene national conference? That is what is going to rebuild the foundation.
So if you say Jonathan has failed, God says, no, he has not failed.
What I asked him to do, he's doing it.
What he needs is the prayers of the church that he will be able to carry it through.
Do you know the national conference was almost scheduled?
Overnight.
I received the call overnight. Go and call your people in the southwest. This is what the Hausas are planning. Oh, on Monday, they are going to scatter the national conference.
Everything has been put in place.
It was the middle belt that saved it. Middle belt stood up and said, look, we are no longer part of the north.
We are middle belt. We are not north. If you do it on your own,
it fell out of their hands.
If middle belt had agreed, because middle belt too...
Let's continue analyzing Nigeria. Before we begin to get into things that we won't leave here until 12, because some things when you start, you have to explain it to the very end. I hope you understand what I mean.
Analyzing Nigeria. After OIC broke Nigeria into little bits and pieces, they now began to analyze. They said the southwest the northwest and the northeast is sufficiently Islamic, but they needed Sharia.
Hey, Lord, help me. I don't like using more time.
North Central, they developed 4 action plans for North Central. Indigenship for the Hausa Fulani. They want to provide social services. They want to give promotion to officers of Middle Belt and then capture resistant tribes by force, which is what I showed you part of it. Southeast, OIC says Christianity in the Southeast appears formidable, but it is mercantile Christianity. They say it can be bought and it can be sold. That's the word. It can be bought and it can be sold. They studied us and they said all you need to do is give the Igbo man sufficient money. He will drop the Bible, he will pick the Quran. And it is working beautifully. As of today, half of Abakaliki has converted to Islam. As of today, the largest Islamic study center in Nigeria is in Igbo land, in Ebonyi State. If you monitor the news, January this year, 18 young Igbo men converted to Islam at the National Mosque in Abuja. It was carried live on NTA. The governors of Sokoto and the governor of Bauchi gave each one of them 5 million naira each. Your governor, Rocha Sokorocha, gave them 2 million naira. Ex-governor Ojiuzo Kalu gave them 1 million naira. Of course, Rocha has now turned around and said no, that he did not give them any money. Something that NTA carried. I've had the privilege to go to some parts of Igbo land and do this presentation. I have told the Igbo brethren, don't expect bomb.
there will be no AK-47. Expect Naira rain. They will pump money into Igbo land. And they are pumping money into Igbo land. If you are from the East, please get in touch with our people there. Tell them everything is not money. Don't sell your birthright. 3 plans for Igbo land. Encourage Muslim businessmen to go into partnership with the Igbos. Encourage Igbos to become Kachuriaras. Encourage Igbo girls to marry Hausa Muslims. That's the plan. They have activated it. I'm telling you something that was planned 30 years ago. And as you are sitting down here, if I ask you, can you show me the strategy document of the church? The church has no plan. We are just trying to draw up one now. The church has no plan. Islam has put its own in place 30 years ago. They are implementing it step by step. Southwest. Islam said concerning Yoruba land, both Islam and Christianity are superficial. That is, if a Yoruba man tells you he's a Muslim, or if he tells you he's a Christian, he say, don't mind him. He's not a serious one. He's not committed to any other religion. That the real religion of the Yoruba man is traditional worship. Their strategy for Yoruba land is that they will start an Islamic movement that looks like Christianity. That Islamic movement will be meeting on Sunday morning. They will call themselves brothers and sisters. They will do wedding like Christians. They will do vigil like Christians. They will do praise and worship like Christians. If you buy land for your campground on Lagos Ibadan Express Road, they will buy their own land. When you are having your Holy Ghost service, they too they will have their holy service without the ghost. So that in the process of time, the Muslim in Yoruba land will see no difference between Christianity and Islam. When you now go out on evangelism and you are trying to convert Muslims, they will tell you, Abba, Kilo De, Sebalon Kono Lansing. They are serving the same God. Why? Whatever you are doing in the church, they are doing in the mosque. OIC agenda. It's been in place. You are seeing it with your eyes, but you don't know what you are seeing. 30 years ago, the question now is, what is your response? South-South, nothing much. All they said is, let us look for radical youth in the South-South. Give them scholarship in Arab nations, convert them, and send them back. Their first experiment, Asari Dokubo, it worked beautifully. They've taken hundreds of youth from Niger Delta. They are in Kuwait, they are in Dubai, they are in Iran. They are there now, and they are taking them, and they are giving them scholarship, giving them money. Those ones have come back. They will come back. They may not convert to Islam, but they will have a soft spot for Islam. Go to the north, to the Niger Delta now. If you are from Niger Delta, go back home and find out how many houses in your town were owned by the indigenous 10 years ago, and how many houses in your town are owned by Muslims. You will be shocked. They have bought nearly all the houses in Niger Delta. Port Harcourt, Yenagoa, Bayelsa, they are buying properties there. Why? They want the oil and the gas. We are looking at it and we don't know what we are seeing. When Islam plans 25 years in advance. They are master strategists. It is the church. You know, Jesus Christ says the sons of are wiser in their generation than the sons of light. It is true. It is the church that doesn't plan. They strategize. They plan. They have laid the foundation to take the whole of Nigeria. But it is not too late. Huh? My brother, it is not too late. That God is still talking now, it is not too late. So let us wake up and pick race and reverse whatever they planned to do. I've mentioned, let me quickly read this one out for you as I round up. OIC wrote a letter which we were able to get a copy with the seal of Babangida on it in 1990 February. 2 points there that I want to draw your attention to. Point number 3, Babangida was instructed by OIC, place total ban thereafter on all form of worship by Christians.